This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and I'm super excited to welcome you back to our podcast. I just love when you take a little bit of time to invest in yourself, but friendly reminder that learning is not doing, and that information is not transformation. So in that spirit, I want you to lean in today. And when you learn something new, challenge yourself to implement it within the next 24 hours. And even more importantly, as far as a practice goes, when you hear something that is not new to you, that you have heard before, run it through the filter of, am I consistent with this? What can I do to practice this in the next 24 hours? Okay. I'm a little fangirl right now because I'm bringing in a very, very special guest. The moment I met her, I knew we would be friends, whether she liked it or not. And I knew she would be a fantastic resource for all of you. I knew that you would love to hear our conversations on a variety of topics, but I knew exactly where I wanted to start with her. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this, whether she likes it or not, though this is her first appearance on the Primal Potential Podcast, it will not be her last. That is a promise. So, Dr. Beth Westy is a doctor of chiropractic. She is the founder and the creator of the 12-Week Female Fat Solution Challenge, and she's just really passionate about breaking down women's health, women's bodies in a way that is super accessible, super fun, and just easy to follow along with. She has a real gift for making learning really practical. What do I do with this versus let me just preach at you and show you how much I know? And I really admire that about her. Plus, she's just a ball of energy. So, Dr. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so excited that you are here. And when I asked you to be on the show, I knew instantly, and I think I told you right away, that I wanted to talk about stress. Mm-hmm. Which we could talk about 100 million things, and we both have 12-week programs, and we both have a real passion for a lot of the female-specific challenges related to nutrition, mm-hmm. related to fat loss, related to health in general. But one of the things that I feel is really not getting the focus, attention, and action that it needs is stress. Do you see that in your work as well, that it's very like food and movement focused and just kind of missing the mark on stress?
Yes, completely. I have theories about why, but absolutely, stress is one of those things that people just kind of throw out there as almost a flippant thing.
Yeah.
But not really taking seriously into what it is, what it does, and what you need to do to prevent it from taking over and ruining all the results you're trying to get.
Yeah, you know, and I think too, people are so used to living this way that it's just the norm. And they lose sight of baseline. And the only way that I can really relate this or share this in a way that I think people can get it is when I was 350 plus pounds and so deeply depressed, I didn't know how bad I felt because I had never felt good. And so the drive to make myself feel better was really hard to conceptualize because I didn't know there was a better. I didn't know the alternative. And I really believe that that is where a lot of people are with stress. That not just the physical and emotional stress, though I think that's a huge part of it, but the physical stress from food and the physical stress from lack of sleep, as well as the mental and emotional stress, it's just the status quo. And so people don't feel really driven to better because they don't know what better is as it relates to stress. So I think a great place to start would be, if you're comfortable doing this, just a general cortisol overview, because what I want people to get from this, and you love to nerd out, I love to nerd out, it's super fun, and so many of my listeners are like, yay, I love it when you go into science geek mode, which is a proud mode of mine. But the reason that I really want to do that is so that we begin to understand why this matters so much, and that when we move this lever, it's not just this hippy-dippy, oh, stress less so you can enjoy life more. This is about health. This is about energy. This is about mood. This is about fat loss. This is a key lever in that equation. So that is why I really want to do this, so people can begin to understand that when we say stress is an issue, it's not just our way of saying chill out, calm down, but really trying to drive at this mechanism that's such a huge player in health in general.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. Okay. So I have like a bazillion things running through my mind right now.
Like, where do I start? As do all of our listeners, and part of the reason they're so stressed out.
Right. Part of the reason they're so stressed out. Well, so, okay. So as we talk about this stress, and I think we chat about this before we even got started, but it was like, how do you hear some misinformation and not be stressed out about it? Like, deep breath, take it with a grain of salt, and this is not meant to be cured overnight. You know, how do you eat an elephant the one bite at a time? That's how you have to go through the stress part of it. So even talking about this can invoke stress, but it's cool. Just go through it slowly. The stressful state is the status quo and understanding why this matters. For a lot of people, they don't realize that there's different types of stress. So the two main types of stress, the acute stress and chronic stress. Acute stress is necessary, keeps us alive, right? This is the instant stress that you get under a car in front of you, slams on their brakes. You have to immediately react and respond. There's reflexes that set off in your system. Your heartbeat is faster, your breathing goes faster, right? All these other things happen in response so that you can slam on the brakes and react quickly to not crash into the car in front of you. Same thing if you're like, you know, walking down the road and somebody tries to kidnap you, right? Like the acute stress. I mean, these are all terrible examples, but you know what I mean? This doesn't happen for you.
Wait a second. You know, I'm now more stressed.
I know. This is what I'm talking about. I'm going to describe these situations that are super stressful. If you picture them too much, you're going to start to have a stress response, because that's how your body works too.
This is a practicum.
This is also very true. Your brain and the human brain is so unique and special that it actually cannot tell the difference between a stressor that's happened in the past, one that's happening presently, and then one that will happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Your brain perceives all of that as equally happening now. So you even thinking about a terrible thing that happened, like a bad accident that happened, and you think about, if you really think about that event, your brain will immediately set off that stress response in your system to keep you alive. Like, that's what its job is. I want to keep you alive. I'm going to make these things happen. Okay, cool, right? What's not cool is the response that you then have to deal with, the fallout, the aftermath, the side effects of that, especially when that happens again and again and again. That leads you into the chronic stress stage. And that's where people get stuck and locked for days, weeks, months, years,
decades,
for life, right? And the hard thing about this is that, like, people don't realize that this is a thing and that this is something to ward against or even think about, and that it's, oh, this could be damaging. This could be a troublesome spot area for me. Yep. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, heck yeah. And so imagine it starts off with something like, oh, you know, maybe you're, you know, having an argument with your spouse or significant other and you're not, you know, in the best mood. You're driving to work and you almost get in an accident. And the traffic is bad, and that just increases the stress. You get to work, and now you're late, and a project is due, and the other person that was supposed to help with the project doesn't have their thing done. And so now you're stressed about this presentation that's not going to go well in front of the boss, and you're not going to get this raise, and da 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 da, right? And it snowballs, and it just keeps going all day. And then it goes all day and all night for you. So sometimes it's just situational for you that this stress response happens, and it keeps going, and there's no end. Mm-hmm. And that can lead you into the chronic stress. There's also other things, you know, you can have physical stressors, like you work out too hard, you're not fueling correctly, you're not, you know, doing the right thing there. Environmental stressors, you know, toxins and everything that you're exposed to. That's the three main stressors are trauma, toxins, and thoughts. So those are the big three. Like pretty much everything that you get exposed to in stress is the trauma, toxins, and thoughts. And that sets off the stress response in your body, right? And we can break down the trauma, we could break down the toxin, we could break down the thoughts, you know, but either way, everything that you're exposed to in your life is going to be in one of those categories, lead you to the stress state. And if you don't have an end for that stress, it won't end, which means you go from acute stress into chronic stress, and people live their lives there thinking that it's normal. And it's not. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal.
And then what happens in the body? Like, I'm imagining that people are listening to this going, yep, that's me, chronically stressed. But maybe their perception is that it's only a quality of life issue, but it's not. It's a quality of health issue. So talk to me about the impact of this chronic state of stress on health. Because I want people going from like, I know, that's me, chronic stress, to what am I going to do today to take part in reducing the stress response via my thoughts, via toxins, via trauma? But why? What is happening in our body? What systems does this impact in the state of chronic stress?
All the systems.
Everything. Everything.
All the things.
It touches everything. You're screwed. Yes. You're basically half dead.
Just move to an island and sell coconuts. Leave all of your things behind.
But you're so right. Like this is fat loss. This is metabolism. Yeah. This is healing and recovery. This is cognitive function, mood stability. Yeah. Like take me there.
Yeah. Okay. So big systems wise, you know, look at the immune system. That's going to be really damaged by a lot of stress as well. I mean, case in point, for those of you that have ever had a really stressful work environment and then you have a vacation scheduled and you're like, oh my God, I just got to push through. I got a vacation coming in a month. I just got to push through for the next month. And then I'll be on vacation. And you go on vacation and you get sick. Mm-hmm. I used to have this happen in grad school. Every break we had, because I went to school year round and we only had 2 week breaks, three times a year. And every time, because we had finals leading up to that break,
mm-hmm.
You'd push through finals. And then as soon as I started break, I spent the first week of that 2 week break sick mm-hmm. every single time. Yeah. Right.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
My listeners know that, a couple years ago I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
And this was right after first a period of prolonged and aggressive weight loss, meaning like it was my full-time job. I was super, super focused on this. I was super disciplined, super structured, and my marriage falling apart, getting a divorce, moving out, all of that. And then all of a sudden, like things just went bonkers, haywire. And I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what it was. And my energy level was changing so fast. I was like weird things. I had numbness and tingling in my legs, all of these weird symptoms. And I feel like stress was a huge part of that, physical and emotional stress. Big systems like thyroid function, like estrogen and progesterone, when we have this chronic stress, is that taking its toll there?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I call it the cortisol monster when we talk about the endocrine system. That was one of the systems I wrote down.
Oh, good, good.
Taking notes as you're talking. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this and this. Yes, the endocrine system. So I call it the cortisol monster because it basically takes over. Like, it's like Godzilla destroying all the other endocrine, you know, hormones.
Right.
So, and it will start and it will grow so big and be so out of control that to keep feeding that monster, it will start to steal from the other hormones in your system. So this is going to be thyroid hormone, where then all of a sudden your thyroid goes out of whack.
Yeah.
It will be estrogen. It will be progesterone. Mm-hmm. So for some women, they're under a lot of stress. You skip a period. Mm-hmm. Your period's late. You are trying to get pregnant and all of a sudden you're not ovulating because the stress is throwing off those other hormones. Basically, I call stealing. That's essentially kind of what it's doing is that it's stealing that hormone, shifting it and turning it into more cortisol in your body to keep that going.
Right.
It's like a big snowball effect. It wants more and more and more and more and more.
And then when we talk about that, we have to realize the impact on things like hunger and cravings too, because are so significantly impacted by our hormones. So if mm-hmm. insulin is out of whack, if ghrelin is out of whack, if leptin is out of whack, we're more hungry, we have more cravings. And I really, really believe the reason that I talk about stress so freaking much, especially with my clients, is because so many people feel like their level of hunger and cravings or their inability to feel satisfied with a meal is that something's wrong with them. Yes. Cortisol. It's not that losing weight, eating well, having a sense of a stopping point when you start eating, it's not that that's not available to you. It's that it's functionally disrupted because of your chronic stress.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel like they can't possibly win with food, and all they're focusing on is the willpower and discipline side of things, when it's like, dial back the stress and it's gonna get easier.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. So that's where, you know, people say things like, I'm not even wanting to give in. I want to have this willpower, but I fail. And mm-hmm. they see it as a lot of guilt and shame and feelings around
like
failing.
Personal weakness, but it's not.
Yes. But that's not what it is at all. You're absolutely right. It's that they're, because of the effect of cortisol on your nervous system, your brain runs off of sugars. Mm-hmm. So when your brain runs out of sugars and increase in cortisol, it eats up that sugar really friggin' fast. Mm-hmm. Meaning normally it would take you an hour to go through those sugars. They're gone in less than 5 minutes when you're under stress. And all of a sudden your brain says, I'm starving. Something bad is going to happen. And again, your body's trying to keep you alive. So it says, oh, I'll just kick up these other hormones and say, I need a craving and I need to eat this sugar
so that
food
I can give the brain
what it wants, feeding that monster. So all of a sudden it's like you go into an almost trance, and it's not almost like you don't know what you're doing, but you wake up with your face in a bag of chips or something.
But here, okay.
Not that you, and then you're like, dang it, what did I do? Oh,
right.
But it's all of a sudden,
I'm a loser.
You're aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your brain wakes up then again, because it's gotten the fuel that it needed, quote unquote needed, at that time. Making motions with my fingers in case, you know, like waving my arms around. You can't see them, but quote unquote needed. But it needed those sugars. That's what the brain thinks, that it needed those sugars to survive.
Okay, let me ask you a question about what you just said, because I am imagining a world in which some listener just heard you say that your brain will eat sugar like 10 times faster when you're stressed than when you're not. So they feel like you just gave them permission to eat all the candy when they're stressed. And I know that that's only going to make it worse. So just because your brain is relying on or drawing on or wanting more sugar when you're under stress is not permission to go on a sugar binge when you're stressed. In fact, isn't that like one of the worst things you can do, to pump your system full of these processed sugars? Because it only fuels that cycle. It keeps you deeper in this dependence on that thing that makes you feel so out of control.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So that's what your brain is wanting. But the other sort of reactions and responses that your body and brain has when that stress is high like that is that it stops your metabolism. It slows everything down. So your brain wants the sugars, but your metabolism isn't going, so it's not going to burn it off. And I mean, super fun that the female body is designed to store fat. It does it even better and on a whole new level when you're under this kind of stress. So even eating a salad, it'll want to store that salad as fat.
Because
you
you're in crisis mode.
Yes.
And I want to really, that's so, so important, because for everybody who thinks this is just about happiness and relaxation, hear what Dr. Beth just said. When you are chronically stressed, your ability to burn fat is going to go down, and your ability or propensity to store fat is going to go up, and your body is going to look for every way possible to take the fuel you are consuming and store it as fat, because your body only knows that there is an internal stressor.
Yep.
People don't realize, like, I'm eating so well. Why am I not getting results? One of the questions I always ask, how stressed are you and are you sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so major.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a big difference that the amount of stress that you're under, it's almost like, and it doesn't even matter where exactly the stress is. It's like, where's this? If you're in a dark room and you see a light, You know what I mean? Where is that light coming from? It doesn't matter if it's a candle or a flashlight or a headlight. You know, it doesn't matter what's behind there. It's just that there's a light there shining in the room, right? And how that's the stressor. I don't know if that's a good example or not, but you know what I mean? People want to try and analyze, oh, well, what is the light coming from or blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's there. And right. That's the problem. You know what I mean?
So let's just list out for people some of the things that cause this stress response in the body. You already named a few of them, like exercising too hard and not fueling properly. Of course, like the physical and emotional stress that we're all used to. But what are a few of the other things that trigger this stress response in the body that maybe people aren't, if their initial reaction is just, well, I mean, life is pretty good, I'm not that stressed, but they're overlooking all these other facets of stress.
Yeah. Okay. So when we look at the trauma toxin thoughts, the categories there, for trauma, it could be things like the overexercising. It can be things like injury, you know, or a surgery, you know, or a root canal, stuff like that, that you have to go through to, oh, I'm going to be healthy and get my teeth fixed or whatever. Great. But that's still a trauma that your body is exposed to. Illnesses, right? There's also emotional traumas that are just as tough, if not sometimes tougher, on the body with that. So a lot of times people just think of the physical, you know, wear, tear, strain, that type of a thing. But there's a lot there. When we look at toxins, things that you're exposed to, it can be cleaning products in your house. It can be the car exhaust that you're exposed to, the light from the screens that you're on, your phone, your computer. How many hours a day are you really on your electronics or around them? It's a lot. It's probably a lot, you know?
And when you say that, to your point that you started with, a lot of people can feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just screwed. Like, I'm always going to be chronically stressed, right? Like, I know, because as you're thinking it, I'm going, yep, I'm okay. There's that. And yeah, there's that. And there, I got that one too. Jesus, I'm just like SOL. I'm going to be chronically stressed. So I might as well settle in with a Twinkie and enjoy the ride. But what I want everybody to remember, as you said, is that it's just gradual steps of improvement. Like for me, one of the ones that I hold as a high priority is having a water filter, not just in my kitchen sink for the water I drink, but in my shower. Because you step into the hot shower, your pores open up, your skin is your largest organ. Toxins being invited into the system. So I have a filter on my shower. So that's like, you know, while there are all, you know, I can't control when I step out of my car that there's exhaust in the air from the car. It's like, no, I'm not going to go outside in a mask, though. Hey, if you want to rock it that way, rock it that way. But we were talking, and I'm going to put the, before we started this podcast, we were recording and we were just like, you know, shooting the shit and chatting and I don't even know where it's going. Oh, we were talking about the classy glasses. I'm going to put the little pre-recording, just silly talk where we were just kind of just off the cuff rambling. I'm going to put that at the end of the show for those of you that are curious about like behind the scenes and how we kick off a podcast and the random things we were chatting about and laughing. But we're both right now, as we're recording, we're both wearing blue blocking glasses because we've been on our computers for hours and hours. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not screwed. Dr. Beth isn't screwed because we spend the majority of our waking hours looking at a screen, whether it's our phone or our laptop or anything else. You're not screwed because of that. There's so many little things that you can do. What about food? What are some of the ways that we can trigger a stress response with food? Because I've talked a lot about like my own food sensitivities and also overeating. And my life is like a, you know, as a binge eater, that was a massive stressor on my body. But what are some of the food stressors that people need to be considering?
Yeah. So besides just amount and like quantity, because that can be a factor for sure. But type, like even how fast you're eating, you're not meant to inhale your food. I mean, I grew up with siblings. If you wanted to eat, you know, you had to eat fast. I don't know if you, I don't know, did you grow up in a house where you had to like lick your pizza if you wanted, when you ordered pizza? No,
because my mom really restricted my food. So, yeah, it was kind of like I had to eat wicked fast when she wasn't looking, because as soon as she looked, I was going to be measured and monitored. So I get it, but just in a different way. So I would like, if she was out of the room and she had just gone to the grocery store, I'd open up the box of chewy granola bars. This is what, you know, the snacks we had in the house. And I would eat like seven of them.
Yeah.
And then I would say I didn't eat seven of them, but it was really, they had just come home from the grocery store. But yeah, no, that's how I would behave. And I think there can still be, especially when you're excited to eat. Like,
nom, nom, nom. Yes, we all know that. We all have experienced that.
And if you haven't, I don't understand you. We don't get each other at all.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Yeah, you're not my people. It's fine, though. You can still listen to the show. So, okay, speed of eating, quantity
speed
of eating.
Okay. Yeah, quantity. And then breaking it down into, like, what is the food consisting of? Is it a complete nutrient? Are you eating food that is protein, fat, and carbs? That makes a big difference in terms of bioavailability. Can you absorb it? You know, all that stuff. Can you metabolize all of it?
Right? Versus like highly, highly processed mess. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the simple difference of having like an apple and peanut butter versus gummy bears.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How like, about sleep?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing about food.
Yeah, please.
The artificial crap, fillers, junk. Like when they talk about processed food and talk about those things, of course, getting as close to nature as possible is the most important. But in the society and life that we live, oftentimes you have to have food that's been processed in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. But if you're having processed food that has artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, it will destroy the natural bacteria in your gut, which decreases all the absorption rate and everything else too. Right. But you're also introducing things that your body's not meant to absorb or digest.
Yeah.
Things like one of the things I talk about is shredded cheese. If you're buying cheese pre-shredded, and like I used to get it in a big bag, you know, at the grocery store, like the bulk bag of shredded cheese, all this stuff. Oh, we'll make pizza with it. It'll be so easy. I won't have to shred the cheese. They use cellulose powder in there, which is
to sawdust. Keep it from sticking.
Yeah.
Sawdust. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't digest that. And so they won't put it on the label in terms of anything that's bad or, you know, because you're like, oh, well, the human body doesn't digest it. So it doesn't affect it. Wrong-o that it doesn't affect it. It totally does.
Right.
But
yeah, just foreign invader in the body. Yeah. Like, alarm, this guy shouldn't be here. We don't eat wood.
Yeah. Yep. So you will get like diarrhea.
Yeah.
And because your body's like, whoa, 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 buddy, what is this? Let's get this out of here as quickly as possible.
Stress. That is a stressor.
And that is a stressor. And that is a food stressor. Yes, absolutely. Okay. What was the other question that you asked me?
What about sleep?
Sleep.
God.
Sorry if I'm yelling.
We are the excitable types. It's fine.
I know.
We are cut from the same cloth.
Kind of a ball of energy.
Yeah. No.
Well, it's about stuff that I'm really passionate about where I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So the hard thing about sleep is that when your body is stressed out, it needs more sleep and rest to recover. Mm-hmm. You need to get into the right types of sleep, you know, deep sleep. There's important, very, very important resets that happen during the night. Your body's meant to rest, repair, and recover.
Mm-hmm.
And if those things don't happen, you are not going to wake up the next day feeling refreshed, meaning those new cells didn't get to get created. Hormonal shifts and change didn't happen. Your brain didn't get to rest. Your digestive system didn't get to rest. So increase in stress, especially later at night, can actually affect how well you fall asleep and how long you stay asleep and how deep of a sleep you get into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting enough sleep because you're staying up too late, because you are getting up too early, that is a chronic stressor.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah. The right kind of sleep.
Yeah.
Yes. And that can change also seasonally, the amount of sleep that you need. So that's another thing too. I think people get stuck in this pattern of thinking that, oh, I go to work, I work out 3 days a week, and I eat healthy, blah, blah, blah. and I need this much sleep all the time. And that's not necessarily true. Your body goes through different rhythms of things, where it might be a season, it might be a week, it might be a month that you need more sleep or more rest or things like that. And so, you know, I mean, I don't need to dive into that piece of it as much, but that's, I mean, recognize that there's different times where your body will need more sleep. And especially for women, different times of the month that your body needs more rest and more sleep than other times.
Absolutely. So let's play a little game. It's not a game. It's not a game at all. I'm not the game. I know. I wish I was.
I got excited for a second.
I know. Okay. This is what we're going to do. You're going to tell me your personal top ways to lower your physical stress exposure or stress response. And I will share mine just to give people some ideas of like what it looks like in practice.
Okay.
Improving your stress response, either or, however you want to take it.
Okay.
You want me to go first so you can think about it?
Well, because the one thing with some of this stuff is that, I mean, one thing you can lower your stress exposure with things, right? But sometimes, like, if it's your work and you're like, well, shit, I can't.
Well, that's why I'm saying both. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like,
increase your capacity to handle the stress. Yeah, okay.
You want me to go first?
Yes, you go first. You go first.
My first line of response always is more sleep. Because that is just, you know, I can go to bed earlier. I can decide. One of the ways I force myself into this is I'll say, no TV this week. And it's amazing how like, oh, I find myself in bed earlier, right? So if I am feeling stressed or even just to kind of allow my body to rest. Maybe life is particularly full, like it has been for the first part of this year for me. I will challenge myself, you know, no TV and getting to bed earlier. Because a lot of times we can't change too much the time we wake up, but we can certainly have some influence. So that's where I start often. The other thing that is huge for me is transcendental meditation. Like massive, massive, massive. It's been about a little over a year since I started doing TM, and I've done a podcast episode on it that I'll link to in the show notes. But especially when I start to feel like I have a short fuse, or I start to feel like I'm getting a little bit sick, feeling under the weather, but really mostly just that frazzled, like, I just want to punch everybody in the mouth, you know, like we all have those days. That is such a key for me. Like, okay, baseline, like you don't know what I'm talking about. baseline stress level is creeping up a little bit. And so TM really, really has a massive impact on my stress level. So that's huge. The other thing is I cut out dairy. Because I do incorporate dairy. I know kind of what I'm more sensitive to and what I'm less sensitive to. But if work is stressful, or if I haven't been sleeping well, or if I'm feeling not so great, or just that like I want to punch everybody in the mouth feeling, dairy to the curb. No mas, not happening. And that has an impact. And then little things like what can I do that's fun? Whether that is a 3-minute dance party in the kitchen or a walk on the beach or anything like that, how can I incorporate more lightheartedness into my days? Which seems really crazy, but it makes a big difference for me.
Your turn. Okay. I wrote down a few things here. So I'll just go through them. Okay. Between lowering stress exposure and improving the stress response. One of the first things that I do when I notice that I'm under stress is I increase my protein intake. Because I know part of what happens biochemically in the body when you are under stress is there's this process called gluconeogenesis, which is where your body takes some of the protein that is in your body, meaning your muscle tissue, or that you're consuming, turns it into sugar and stores it as fat. Yay. So in terms of combating that, I will increase my protein intake to make sure I'm getting enough energy and that I'm supporting the lean muscle tissue that I have. It's really important to me, especially right now, that I maintain all of the muscles that I've worked really hard to build.
Strong girls unite.
Yes. I got to have this extra beefcakeness. I'm not really that beefy, but you know,
No, she's gorgeous.
Build muscle.
She's gorgeous.
I just
not beefy.
Yeah. So for football season is starting soon. I want to be strong and not lose that muscle mass. Okay. So there's that. Another thing that I do is I time block really, really tightly. And I actually time block for things that are very stressful. So I wish I was better at meditating. I'm just not.
I wasn't either until TM changed it for me.
Yeah. I might try that one. I have an app that I sometimes do that I can, you know, sure. And then I pretend that I'm actually doing meditative things. But the one thing for me when I notice I'm worried about something and it keeps coming up in my brain and it keeps interrupting my thought process or when I'm doing something, I will literally schedule a time in my calendar that is my time to worry or think about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is it. Outside of that time, if it comes up in my brain or I'm like, oh my God, I'm worried about this. I'm like, nope, that's not my time to worry about it. Move on.
I
just keep putting it off until I don't know if that's worry time or whatever. That's what you call it. I don't know what you call it, but that's what I do. I'm worried about this thing or this person or this whatever. I schedule a time for it and then I move on from it. I also do, I take more adaptogens.
Mm-hmm.
I take more herbs for stress. I double up on them morning and night so that my body can react better at night to the stressors that I'm under. And then
before you move on from that, are you like ashwagandha, that sort of thing? Like, do you have a favorite?
Ashwagandha is, I think my favorite. I talk about it the most. But I also love, wolfberry.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on what type of stressor I'm under, like Bacopa is really good for mental stress or, like Eleuthero or Siberian ginseng, you know, those are good for physical stress. So depending on what type of stress I'm under, I'll incorporate more of those adaptogens for sure. And depending on where I'm at in my cycle, I'll also increase my adaptogens because that helps your body process things better too. And then you said fun. And when you said that, I was like, oh my God, I totally do this. Whenever I'm stressed and I'm having a hard time moving on, like say I have my time block for stress.
Yeah.
And I'm just not moving on to my next thing quick enough. I'll take a break. And this is so dumb, but I look at funny cat videos.
Oh my God.
No, laughter. Like I have to make myself laugh. And for me, like that's such a huge part where I notice if I am not like laughing or include that, you said fun or like play or like, you know, singing and dancing in the kitchen as I'm making breakfast or something, right? That I know like something's off for me and I need to laugh. And that's the thing that makes me laugh the most is like funny cat videos or funny dog videos.
So funny.
There is nothing funnier than a cat trying to jump off of a slippery coffee table and face planting. I don't know why.
Like, oh my God.
Right? I'm even laughing just thinking about it.
Dude, you know, I can't say that I watch cat videos, though. I'm not opposed to trying it, and I will send them to you if I find great ones.
Yes,
but
please do. Oh
I will. But you've probably seen them all since this is like a thing for you. But I use humor as well. Like this morning, I was just irritable and crabby and grouchy, and my boyfriend and I, we do Marco Polo. Like if he's somewhere on the property and I don't know where he is, he'll just scream Marco. If we're in the grocery store, Marco, whatever. So this morning he texted me Marco because he woke up and I wasn't home. Well, I just needed like a change of scenery. I knew I had a full day ahead. So I went to work from Starbucks. So Marco, I said, I had to get out of the house. Well, it was snowing and he goes, oh, you left? Your footprints are gone, which would be so creepy, except for the fact that it was snowing. And so that's what he meant. He couldn't see that I had walked out of the house. And I said, yeah, today I decided to take my broom. I wasn't feeling like I wanted to make a joke, which is exactly when you need to make a joke the most.
Yes.
You know, like when you want to be like, just snarky or just dismissive, I intentionally choose humor because of the effect it has on my physiology.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. I love how you talk about that with your relationship. I do that too. Like with my husband, you know, like we've been together for a really long time, like 17 years.
That's crazy.
And yeah, we met, I was 20, he was 21. So there's a very long time and through a lot of ups and downs. And that's the one thing that, again, coming back around to it still is
humor.
It's humor. It's like finding a way to make him laugh or he always does it and it pisses me off, but I still laugh. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. You don't want to laugh.
Like, don't make me laugh. Yeah. Don't make me laugh.
Okay, I cracked.
Dang it, it's funny. Yeah. Dang it, you're too cute and funny. Crap.
But that is like such a powerful tool that I think gets underestimated because, okay, maybe the most important thing of the show. Nope, you are. You're amazing. But we're just like too freaking serious.
Yeah.
Just way too serious. Everybody needs to like chill.
Yeah.
Laugh. Like just laugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to tell people like where and how they can connect with you because everybody's gonna wanna know how they can learn. I have to slow down there. But before I have you share that, can I give a teaser for the fun thing that we're gonna do starting like next month?
Yeah. Okay.
So I reached out to Dr. Beth because she has a really cool protocol for eating with your cycle, your menstrual cycle, and not just eating, but just kind of like living, behaving, optimizing for different parts of your cycle. And I was like, hey, what if we take me through this process and really stay connected about different modifications we have to make because I'm really carb sensitive, because I have Hashimoto's, because I'm a CrossFit athlete, all of these different things. And so we are going to be doing that and making some videos about the process. And then once I get through my cycle, we will share it with you in some cool, fun way. So I'm like, so excited to start that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
It's going to be great. All right. So I have, you go into rabbit holes of cat videos. I go into rabbit holes of your IG live videos, whatever, different strokes for different folks. Where can people learn more about you, find you, and of course, everything you say, I will link up in the show notes for today's episode.
Yay. Okay. So I'm on the social, the interwebs, the social medias, you know,
the books of faces and the grams of Insta.
Yes.
Those ones.
That's where I am.
Yes. The tweeter sphere.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'll
link those things.
Yes. The Facegram, whatnot. So yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I also have a podcast called The Female Health Solution. And
I'll link to that too.
Yes. And then, oh yeah, my YouTube, I have a YouTube channel. So there's a ton of video content that I've done there as well.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to link it all up. And guys, you are going to want to check it out. You're going to want to go to the show notes page at primalpotential.com. You will learn so much, and you'll know exactly why I said that though this was her first time, it will not be her last.
It feels like the very first time. No?
Yeah, totally.
You need to do that on your podcast.
Totally, 100%. I'm so grateful for that. I did an episode with my boyfriend the other day, and I told him he couldn't sing because I could tell by the look on his face that he was thinking in lyrics. I was like, I lost you to a song, didn't I? I lost you to a song. You're not here with me. You're in the song. And he was like, yeah. And I said, don't do it. But in hindsight, he would have given a much better answer had he gone into lyrics. So I've abolished the no singing rule because he would have performed much better had I allowed
you know what
him
I now
sing.
Imagine your life is like? This is the image I have of you now.
Okay.
You live on this gorgeous orchard and everything, and it's like a Disney movie, and it's your boyfriend that is going around singing just like a Disney movie, like breaking out into song, serenading you. Is this accurate? I think it is.
Well, the yard caught on fire the other day, so there wasn't any singing when that happened. so there was that. We found a dismembered animal in the front yard. Yeah, no, it's not like a Disney movie at all. Though he does sprinkle coins on the ground because I love pennies. So if I'm mad, he'll just drop change out of his pocket and it fixes everything. I swear to God. So there's that. But
maybe,
otherwise,
maybe a cartoon movie for adults.
Yes. Oh my God. That is my life. An inappropriate cartoon movie is my life. 100%. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He brought home lobster today for dinner. Ooh. And he set the live lobsters on the counter. And I'm working 2 feet away. And he's outside attending to a fire because I made a no unattended fires rule after the yard set on fire, you know. So he's out there following the rule, attending the fire. And I texted him, your lobsters are escaping. And he's like, aren't you in the kitchen? Yeah. Come
not
fix
gonna
it.
Touch it though. Go get it.
Not my lobster. Not my problem. Yeah. Yeah. That's
see? This is so yes. I say Disney. It could be Pixar, right?
It's
in a movie. It's a cartoon movie. This is what's gonna happen. Your life is gonna be made into a show, a cartoon show.
I can see that. And it's gonna be called Dumpster Fire. Yeah, it's gonna be called Dumpster Stuff.
I'm gonna produce it. That's
yeah.
What's gonna happen.
You will be highly entertained. It might be your favorite role of your career.
I think it might just be.
All right.
We went on a tangent for a minute.
We did. We're bringing it back. This is amazing. Bottom line, takeaway message that you want to leave people with related to stress is go.
Oh my. Okay. Related to stress. It's not always going to be the same thing that helps you with your stress. Mm-hmm. Different stresses through different points of your life that occur, it can take a different amount of time to get through it. And that's okay. And that's normal. And it's not always going to be the same thing that gets you out of it. Yeah. And sometimes you have to sit and just wait and really work on yourself. And that's okay too. And what works for somebody else isn't necessarily going to work for you. And that's okay. Just live in that process and understand it's a process. But don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, don't give up halfway through, because the work that you're doing is really important.
And mine is laugh more, play more, and don't take yourself so seriously.
Yes.
That's what I got. Dr. Beth, you're amazing. I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time and your talent today.
Yay. Thank you for having me. This flew by for me. I can't believe it went so fast.
Let's do it again. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. So as came up in the episode, Dr. Beth and I thought that we just had to air for you our initial preamble before we started the actual podcast, because it was just funny and also very real. For a little bit of context, we turned on our videos and realized we were both wearing classy glasses. These are blue blocking glasses. I wrote a blog about them. I will link to that in the show notes. And we were talking about chronic stress, and it just so happens that wearing these glasses is something that we both do to reduce our exposure to some of those toxins that we talked about that come from the blue light emitted from your phone, from your computer, from your television, from your iPad or whatever tablet that you use. So we were both wearing them. We're both huge fans. They have made a positive impact for both of us. And as I shared in the blog that I wrote last week, I've been aware of blue blocking glasses for a long time. And I actually owned several pairs before I bought these classy glasses. But what I found is the other brands were really flimsy and really ugly, had this yellow tint that you definitely wouldn't want to be seen wearing on a video with a colleague or just around your house. So somebody solved this problem with the creation of Classy Network. So these are adorable glasses, super cute, that you would almost consider an accessory. In fact, I entirely consider them an accessory, which is why I have two pair. They block that blue light that comes from your electronic devices. And if we don't block that blue light, that suppresses melatonin. And melatonin and cortisol work like a seesaw. So when we suppress melatonin, we're increasing cortisol, that stress hormone. So I wrote a blog about it. I've done some podcasts on it. I'll link to those resources in the show notes over at primalpotential.com/564. And I will link to the classy glasses that we were wearing, as well as a coupon for you to save 10% if you want to check them out. You just use the coupon code PRIMAL, PRIMAL, and you can save 10% on your glasses. Definitely let me know what you think. But all of those links will be over in the show notes, primalpotential.com/564. So for your entertainment, Here is just the ramblings of Dr. Beth and I before we started the podcast. Take it or leave it. Have a great day.
Can you see me?
No.
Oh, how do I? Oh, is that it?
Oh, there we are. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I am all bundled up. It's like snowy and cold and just lovely.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have no lights in my house because I bought this 1770s farmhouse, right? The orchard. Well, so there's no like lights. There's just plugs and you have to have lamps and I haven't bought lamps. So I have like one lamp.
Oh my God.
Otherwise, I just chill in the dark. Cause I don't want to buy lamps when I'm like doing this renovation and I don't know like what the vibe is going to be yet. So I live in the dark.
No, that's cool. You know, serial killers do that too. So that's fine.
You're wearing your classy glasses.
I am.
I am too.
I have a full day at the computer. And normally by this time of day, I would have a headache and feel nauseous.
Dude, I am the same way. Not only legit, this is not a commercial. Not only do I have less eye strain, like I don't feel like I'm kind of like squinting and leaning forward towards the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep faster.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
your melatonin
of that,
production right
that's
there.
That's right. Not suppressing that melatonin with the blue light. I'm telling you, I am like pretty excited about them.
Yeah.
I bought a second pair. I bought the first pair and I wore them for 2 days. I liked them so much. I think actually on the first day I bought the second pair. I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. Like, dude, talk about brilliant business to be like, this is a need and all of the solutions out there are ugly and flimsy. And then to make cute ones that you want to wear as an accessory.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I hear you. Me too. Uh-huh. Me too. I'm a fan. Okay. So this is what I'm thinking for today. Stress, cortisol. It's something that I have talked about before, and I'll surely do the backstory again once we dive into the episode. But the primary thing I want folks to take away from this is maybe just an awareness of the fact that they are living in this chronic state of stress. Like, I think it's almost become normal, not just the physical and emotional, but the things that we introduce into our lives that also add to that stress, whether that is overeating, whether it is sugar, you know, all of the different factors that can influence cortisol, whether it's a byproduct of melatonin suppression, all of that. I just want people to really think about this, not just as I'm agitated and feeling frenzied, but really the impact that chronic cortisol elevation has on health. And then, as always, what can we do about it beyond the very cliche and seemingly difficult to implement? Don't stress out.
I want to punch people in the face right? when they're like, well,
just relax.
Just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Like, I'm already fucking worried about it. And now you're telling me not to fucking worry about it. And that makes me even more worried.
That's exactly right. Now I'm worried and I'm angry. I was just worried. Now I'm worried and I'm pissed off. Thanks.
Yeah. Please put this in there somewhere. I hope you're recording.
I know, right? Like, I actually think that this should actually be aired. Our conversation about classy glasses. Mm-hmm. And this. Why not? Just break all the rules.
Yeah, do all of it. The class, we can promote this because it's amazing and it is life-changing and it's already helped me. It's helped you. It helps everyone.
And they're so cute.
They are cute. Oh my God. And they're so comfortable. That's the thing I can't get over. Is that
I know.
It's like, put them on and I'm like, oh my God, they feel good on my face.
Which, like, if I wear sunglasses... They don't feel comfortable after a while. Like I start to get a headache from wearing sunglasses. So I was a little worried, right behind the ear. Like these are comfortable.
These are super comfy. Like I have no problem wearing them all day. I've been on the phone. This is like 6 hours now. Yeah. I've been sitting here for 6 hours. I've gotten up 3 times and taken breaks to do, you know, bathroom snack. I didn't even get to finish my snack. Here's my leftover snack.
What is it?
It is, it's peanut butter, a little bit of honey, chocolate protein powder, hemp seeds, and then I put chocolate nibs in it.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, it's super yummy. And then I was just on a Zoom call with Brianna. Yeah. I didn't think it would go 90 minutes. I was thinking like maybe 30 or 40, but she went 90. And I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah. Dude, I hear you. I've had these on since 5:30 this morning. It's now 4:10, and they're super comfortable.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.